Okay, Alan Assault, you've got some very important things to say, so let's get on with the set. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I really enjoyed the last speaker there. There was some research that I'd done. Certainly that stuff around Edward Heath was very interesting. A lot of people had known he was a spy for a long time. And I'm surprised he didn't mention about Keir Starmer being the QC in his day that stopped, was holding back for 20 years, the arrest of Jimmy Savile, plus they had the information on him and all that kind of stuff. I guess really I wanted to start there because, as I think it was Michael Gambon said, I can't remember the film it was, life is like a layer cake. There's a series of layers, and it depends where you are in that strata. I mean, obviously, Michael Shrimpton is at a certain level of what's going on. It's very difficult to know where to start. Because when I do these talks, it generally comes through me, and I'll say rather quickly, I am not a medium or anything like that. I'm a musician, and that's what I would like to be more, but they didn't want me to do that. I did have a record deal years ago and all that sort of stuff. But I learn, like, as I learn songs, I learn bodies of information, you know, a lot of information. And then when I come to do a gig, I try and feel the audience to see what songs they would like. And so I'm trying to feel kind of what people would like to hear or what would be good for them to hear, so they will be able to relate to what I'm talking about. So there's nothing kind of metaphysical about what I'm doing. It's just that I'm trying to select the information that I've kind of learnt over many years. I normally do talks on, and people bill me as common law. Most people don't even know what common law is. They don't know the history about it. They have lots of assumptions and presumptions about it. And to have assumptions, presumptions, and opinions does not put you under law. That puts you in legal. Because legal can only deal with assumptions, presumptions, and opinion. Only law deals with facts. And we've had no law in this country for a very long time. None whatsoever. It's all been legal. And it's these guys, they don't play by their own rules. There is a history to it, which I will get into. To give some kind of background, because basically, as most people feel that there's something wrong. In fact, I could say, what I'm going to tell you, you already know. You just don't know that you know. Because what has happened to you and what has happened to mankind for the last few thousand years has kind of shut that capacity down. There are forces, lower vibrational forces, if you like, that are obfuscating us as a species from progressing. And we've heard some of those tactics from the previous speaker. Other cultures actually have words for this. You know, there are Native American cultures. They have two words I think are amazing. There was one word called Koyaanisqatsi, which is believed comes from the Hopi. And there was a film made that used that same word called Koyaanisqatsi. And I think Philip Glass did the music to the film. And it was a kind of ecological film. But the word Koyaanisqatsi means a way of living that demands another way of living. That's a powerful word, isn't it? Just to have one word that says that. So imagine the quality of consciousness that can create a word like that. Where is that at to be able to converse and have that? Another word is Wetiko. Wetiko means cannibal, but it doesn't mean cannibal to eat the flesh. It means to consume the soul. It means to consume each other. It means to take more than you're giving, to profit. Okay, these are two words. Those just two words in themselves sum up our problem, and I call it our problem. We need another way of living. We're living a way of living that demands another way of living. And we are being obfuscated in our progress by Wetiko, which is a disease. It's a disease. we can call that disease, and I have a clinical background as well, we could call that disease, and in fact it's named in the various DSM 4, 5, and I think believe the 6 is coming out shortly, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders, which are financed by the usual suspects, which is the big pharma. They have a section in the book which they call Cluster B Pathologies. I call the problem Cluster Bs. Cluster B is basically borderline narcissistic personality disorder, sociopathy, and psychopathy. They all have one thing in common, although they're very different if you're really breaking it down, and I don't want to deviate too much. People who are Cluster Bs have no empathy. Zero empathy. Okay? And this is really important, because if we are going to get out and find a way of living, get out of this way of living that demands another way of living, we're going to need empathy. Why are we going to need empathy? Well, let's just look at some very basic, simple stuff. Simple principles. Very, very simple principles. The first being, treat other people as you would like to be treated yourself. What could be simpler? Only take what you need and leave the rest. How difficult is that? And if the love you give is greater than the love you get, well, then all will be well. We should be running on a home run. If we can manage those three principles in our life, that would be great. However, those who have Cluster B, none of those principles make any sense whatsoever. They cannot treat another person as they would like to be treated themselves. They cannot only take what they need and leave the rest. And they are incapable of any form of loving relationship whatsoever. These Cluster Bs, as I'm calling them now collectively, or I could say these Wuticos, are the cause of the symptoms that we are working with or trying to find solutions now. For example, my so-called experience, my understanding of law and legal, and of course you should know that they're two entirely different things. Who assumes that law and legal are the same thing? A lot of people do. They do. They're not the same thing. They're not even different sides of the same coin. The term legal was defined in 1893 Encyclopedia Britannica as the undoing of God's law. So it's got nothing to do with law whatsoever. Legal has nothing to do with law at all whatsoever. In fact, I can show you, I've got some documents here. You might want to get your black magic phones and take a few photos of these. For example, if we're going to kind of come up with some solutions or find a way out of this koyaanisqatsi, it's no good us being able to kind of look at the system and criticize the system. Because we need to know what is holding us back as individuals. Because this ultimately is an individual journey. It's no use following any kind of political things or, you know, form of pop political solutions or something, and we all go in there generally, because the fact is that you are born, and the fact is you are going to die. And you ain't going to do that as a group, you're going to do that by yourself. So the solution is going to be, as we as individuals, or as I, a man, or as you, a womb man, we are members of womb mankind, because we all come from the womb. That was our gateway into this space, this time, this place, this linear dimension. And in this linear dimension that we come into, we developed or have really been grotesquely encouraged to create a rather obese reflective action of consciousness, which is not our authentic self. We are not who we think we are. That product of our minds, of our consciousness, is a reflective action of consciousness. And because it's a reflective action of consciousness, it's in the past. That reflective action of consciousness also functions on the use of words. You think in terms of words. And all your words and all your language are corrupt. They've been corrupted, totally corrupted. And your genetic engineering, and of which we're in a very kind of grotesque form of genetic engineering that's going on with us now, with the quantum dot, nanoparticle, chip kind of parasitic aspect of this farrago of excuses that are the product. This is a symptom. This whole scamdemic thing that we've been going through the last few years, couple of years or whatever, is not a cause, it's a symptom. It's a classic symptom of this cluster B pathology. I wonder how many of you have had the misfortune or good fortune, depending how spiritually evolved you've managed to use that experience, of having a relationship with someone who has narcissistic personality disorder. Because if you have, then you will know what you're dealing with. Because we are all, believe it or not, in a relationship, an abusive relationship with what I would call and what is termed as malignant narcissism. Malignant narcissism is a collective of people with narcissistic personality disorder. Now, they have no empathy. Everything about them is fake. So I'll give you an idea of how they work if you've been in that relationship or you've been in that kind of relationship or you can identify that sort of relationship. Is the first stage is called the love bombing. And while I go through this, I want you to think of how corporations work, how governments work, how councils work, how any authority that affects you in your life works. Okay? So the first stage in a narcissistic relationship is called the love bombing stage. This is where the narcissist will target an empath. So the more empathic you are, you're the smorgasbord for this for narcissistic personality disorder. They're going to feed on you. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for someone who is heart-centered, who cares, who has the capacity to love. And they're going to target you for a number of reasons. But firstly, is they are vampiric. They are parasites. They are parasitic. So they're going to feed on you. And they want a regular food source to feed on. Okay, so the first thing they're going to do is love bomb you. So they're going to come up with, and they've learned this because they shift into this narcissistic personality disorder. This is a kind of hereditary situation that goes through from family to family. You know, it's passed on, and it's caused by trauma, and it's caused by abuse. And you can have two siblings that are in the same family where that abuse happens, and one would become a narcissist and the other would become codependent, which would be a kind of different thing as well. And this is where the individual, one needs to really look at where we're at as individuals to kind of see what's going on. Now, take it from me, the narcissist's not interested in doing any of this stuff. They can't. I like to believe that there may be a cure for narcissistic personality disorder, but it's very unlikely. It's very unlikely because this happens in a very early age. It happens in an infantile mind between the ages of 1 to 18 months. This kind of shift happens, and it becomes concretized, if you like, going past the point of no return, say, past the age of 7, once that goes. So that's it. And as the Jesuits used to say when they used to traumatize native peoples, to turn them into narcissists, to turn them into Wetiko through their indoctrination, and they banned them from using their own languages and things. Give me the child from the age of 1 to 7 and I'll show you the adult, or I'll show you the man. That term adult is interesting. You know, most people here would probably consider they're adults. But the Roman cult that is embedded in the Roman church, and which is something entirely different, like I said, it all works on different layers, knows what the term adult means. Adult is an abbreviation of the word adulterated. You've been adulterated. Your whole education process, what you've been programmed through, that whole thing has adulterated you. That's why they term you as being adult. That's why the pornography industry use the term adult movies, because you're as adulterated as the content of their films. This is what the narcissistic personality disorder is seeking to do, is to adulterate you. It literally wants to break your heart. It wants to make it so that you will give up on ever having a loving relationship again, because the one you've had with the narcissist will be so painful that you'll never want to take the risk or the choice again. Or you'll just endure it. You'll just sort of carry on with it. You know, depending on what form of narcissistic personality disorder you're dealing with. But this is the obstacle. This is nothing new. This goes back thousands of years. It's written about in the Bible, although they're not using the term narcissistic personality disorder. So the commentary that we have in the West, the other tribes called the Native Americans, or people who managed to live in a tribal society, and again, I don't like that word society. Society, again, is not an all-inclusive word. There's the word magic again. Society means the socially dominant members of a community. So when the judge says that's unacceptable to society, it doesn't mean to say everybody's going to agree with him. It means the socially dominant members of the community aren't going to go along with that. For whatever reason, it's not going to be profitable for them. So this Wetiko, or narcissistic personality disorder, or cluster B pathology, is the obstacle that we have. Looking at the previous speaker, when he, for example, was illustrating a man called Canaris, there is a classic cluster B. That's a cluster B pathology. Edward Heath, classic cluster B pathology. When you know what you're looking for, you will see these people, they should not even be allowed to have more than £200 in their pocket. They should never be in a situation where they have authority over anyone. They will only cause harm and loss. And that's what mankind has been suffering for the last few thousand years, is harm and loss, over and over and over again. I can go back through the history, just like the previous speaker did, and I could go into what shrinks call the content, which is the detail of what happens, and you can't see the wood for the trees, basically. You get lost for it. I could go back to the real reason and what the background to what happened to Charles I and why he had to lose his head, because Oliver Cromwell was financed by the what I call the financial wing of the Roman cult, or some people refer to as the international usury cartel in Amsterdam, because Charles I, although he had all his faults, was not going to allow a centralized bank, because the monarchy was there to create the currency. If you want to see the bizarre forms of currency that we used to have, check out tally sticks. You can still see them in the Bank of England. It's a stick that's split down the middle by the king's sword. That became a currency because you couldn't forge it, because only those two bits would fit together perfectly. It was impossible to forge. Because it wasn't the actual material, because the only currency there is, really, is belief. That is the only currency. You may believe that what you have in your pocket is money. I can assure you it isn't. I can prove to you that it isn't. Money is defined in the legal system as weighted metal. And in this country, weighted metal came in the form of a pound. Pound is weight, isn't it? And it had a sign, this L-shaped thing like this. And it had a proper sign, the real sign is like that, and it has two lines that go through the middle of it. Two lines in mathematics means equal to. So after the international usury cartel had lost the head of Charles I, and Charles II, and we ended up with William and Mary and the Bank of England, which is not the Bank of England. It's again the whole thing. And again, it's the product of a quality of consciousness that can only deceive. There is, as it says in the Bible, no truth in it. So don't even look for it. There is no truth in it. They started issuing promissory notes when they only had hardly any reserves in the bank. And when the people couldn't pay, and the people they were lending the money to were the aristocracy, when they couldn't pay, then they took real assets in the terms of interest. During the reign of Edward I, usury was outlawed. Because what's usury? Usury is that wutiko, isn't it? It's where you're not giving anything, but you're taking so much back. So when you hear these guys talking about economy and money and stuff like that, just think about your belief, what you believe in. So this pound sign was equal to something of substance, and that thing of substance was called sterling silver. It had a quality, a purity to it, and that was why the currency, the pound, was called sterling, because it was printed against sterling silver. And basically the international usury cartel, which again is, like I say, this malignant narcissism, it consumes. What it did is it got the aristocracy into so much debt that the aristocracy, who at that time were basically the only guys in the Houses of Parliament, parle mentes, mentes meaning lies, Latin for lies, parle meaning to talk. So they're telling you what they're doing. And so there they were in Parliament, and they started passing things called enclosure acts. Because when there were enclosure acts, most of the people, they could have a piece of land, a piece of common land that they shared, and they could more or less sustain themselves on that, and they did a bit of labour here and there. But of course, as soon as the enclosures act came up, well, that was their livelihood gone, which is quite handy, really, because there was a bigger scheme of things that were going on there, which was called the Industrial Revolution. So they were then being herded or shepherded into the factories, children and all. So their nice qualities of life, living in harmony with nature, having their common land and all that kind of stuff, went down the Swanee, and they suddenly worked in expanding cities, these expanding malignancies with factories. And these were the guys that created all the ecological disasters that their same descendants are now telling us, oh, we've got to go green. Oh, there's a climate change thing going on. You want to get rid of climate change? Stop geoengineering. It's as simple as that. They're the cause. This is what I'm trying to get across. It's no use having a solution in legal. It's no use having a solution anyway if you can't address the cause. And the cause is in you, and the cause is outside of you. And you have to address it individually, and we have to address it in terms of common unity. So there's the pound equal to Enclosures Act. Now the banks want to take money of substance out of circulation because they're consuming. They're consuming everything of value. They have to consume everything of value. Remember, they're consuming the souls of everybody, this narcissistic personality disorder, this Wotico. So you've worked all your life to build a business up, and they make a boom and bust, and now you lose your business. That's your whole life. They've just stuck their vampiric teeth in you and sucked your life away and your children's life away, all of it. And you're just wondering what the hell happened. So they need to take the metals out of circulation, the copper and the silver and all the other stuff. So they pass a thing called the Bills of Exchange Act in 1882, which meant that if I wanted to go in and buy a newfangled bicycle, it was going to cost me £5 or whatever it is. I went into the shop and the guy wanted to sell me the bike with the John Boyd Dunlop fangled pneumatic tires on it. And I gave him a piece of paper and he goes, "What's this?" I said, "Well, this is legal tender. It's got a picture of equal to, and the Bills of Exchange Act says that payment offered and payment refused is payment made." There's a bit in the act there that says, if I offer you legal tender, a piece of paper, okay, and you refuse it, then you've not only dishonored me, you've technically actually committed treason, because that legal tender has the Queen's head on it, and you've turned your back on the Queen. But never mind, you can take that note to the bank, and the bank will be happy to give you the silver coins, the money of substance, in return for that piece of paper. So the guy says, "Okay, all right, I'll take the piece of paper. That's all right, I've got to go to the bank anyway." And he takes the piece of paper. Further on down the line, we end up with a thing called the Great War, all orchestrated by these wars. We're looking at this Roman cult, the First World War, the Second World War. All it is to this psychopathy, these cluster Bs, it was just a game for them of noughts and crosses. That's all it is to them. It's a way of people farming. To get you to believe into the personality of this guy and that guy and all the other stuff, to get their players in. And remember, they create this narcissistic personality disorder. They abuse their children. This cult, they will intermarry. So basically the rule of thumb is, and it's a loose rule of thumb, is psychopathy is, there's a DNA factor to that. It's a hereditary thing. So there's the reason for all the arranged marriages, especially if you're part of an elite family. But if you happen to have offspring that are not psychopaths, then it doesn't matter. You can traumatize the crap about them at these satanic rituals and all that kind of stuff, lower their vibrational level, and that will turn them into a sociopath or someone with narcissistic personality disorder. Either way, they're controllable. You see, these people, they're obsessed by control, but they don't realize that they're the easiest to control and manipulate. Because that quality of consciousness, that aspect of their soul that they shut down, that they, in order to have their narcissistic personality disorder, that they lost with their empathy, makes it possible for them to be used as like a vehicle for lower vibrational entities, which will come in and take them over. Okay, so the more narcissistic personality disorder you can create, the more vehicles you are creating for lower vibrational entities to come in and exercise their influence in this time, this place, this space, in this linear time dimension. There's a couple of interesting things that also aid and abet this. There were some experiments done in the 60s with mice, and they made a big like mouse farm where the mice had everything they wanted, and they made two identical environments for them to be in. But on one environment, they took away all the magnetism. There was no magnetism there at all, because we live in a kind of magnetic environment. And quite soon after the magnetism had been taken out of that environment, the mice started becoming cannibalistic. They started eating each other. They started raping each other. I mean, mice raping and all this kind of stuff. But they became criminalized. Okay, which is quite interesting when you think of that. Just by removing that magnetism from that environment. Is that an important experiment? Does it make any sense? What's this got to do with mice? Blah, blah, blah. Well, over the last 300 years or so, people have been measuring the magnetic fields of the Earth, the influence. And it's dropped 36% over the last 300 years. In the last 100 years, it's dropped 20%. The last 10 years, it's dropped quite a sizable percentage. So by removing this magnetic stuff, you are in effect creating criminality. This is why the real pandemic is in this quality of consciousness called the cluster B stuff. This is why they're upping the ante. This is why they're getting really bold about what they're doing. You're dealing with people that are incapable of care. They cannot care. And if they can be influenced, and they're it's just greed. It's just they're parasites. They're complete parasites. These are the people that are the obstacle to change. You saw with the Liz Truss there, she wanted to put a change through. Okay, maybe she's, I don't know whether she's in the spectrum, because they call it cluster B spectrum. I don't know. I don't know the woman. I don't know. But she was obviously trying to put some change in that those that are most definitely within the spectrum didn't want. And so they had to do something about it. Whenever anyone comes up with like a free energy machine, I mean, some of you might want to check out the work of a guy called Stanley Myers, where you can turn a normal internal combustion engine so it just runs on water. Well, he just got bumped off. Any advance that empathic, caring members of womb mankind can come up with, these guys will be the obstacle to that happening. We've got solutions, more solutions than we could possibly imagine. That's not the problem. We're smart enough to come up with the solutions. The problem is what's blocking us from having these solutions. What's obfuscating us? This is what the problem is. And these guys have been at it for centuries, for thousands of years, coming up with their tricksy, schemey things, their word magic and the legal stuff and all the other stuff like that, to trick you, to deceive you. So you go about with this assumption and presumption and are of the opinion of something that's completely false. There's a total pack of lies. This is the malignant narcissism that you were born into, that your parents were born into, that you've inherited. And as individuals, if we leave it to, like, for example, we've got, was it this week, so-called Chancellor, whatever you want to call him, coming in, puppet guy, you know, I'd rather watch Thunderbirds. You might as well, it's the same thing when you're watching the governments. It's Thunderbirds, it's all the, you know. Coming in with this centralized bank digital currency. There's no way you can allow that to happen. And yet, the younger generations, they've got their black magic phones, they're buying, oh look, I pay for it, this is so convenient, it's so good, I'll do this, I'll do that. They're already halfway there. They're already halfway there. And that's the end. That's the end. As soon as you lose cash, that's it. It's game over. Gave you're a prisoner. You're totally a prisoner. You've got no freedom of movement at all. They're already doing it in the towns now, like Oxford and Canterbury, dividing it into zones and all that kind of stuff. Guys, want to listen to a mate of mine called Mark Windows on his show talking about these zones? That you'll be, you know, you'll be allowed to move, automatic number plate, you know, police thing. You'll go from one part of the city to another part of the city. And if you go too many times, you get fined. And they're going to take away your petrol car. But because they're taking away your petrol car, they're taking away all that revenue. So you're only going to be able to have an electric car if you're an elite and you do what you're told. Because remember, once you lose the cash, if you do anything wrong, they just close your account. You can't sustain yourself. You can't pay your rent. You can't pay your mortgage, whatever it is. I mean, that's all a scam anyway, all that stuff. You won't be able to feed. And the electric cars aren't meant to substitute real cars because there's not enough resources to create those things anyway. So it's only going to be the elite. And besides, they don't go very far anyway. So all the time you're being limited. So let's go back to that narcissistic relationship. They don't want you hanging about with any friends. They want to keep you to themselves. They don't want you going out. They don't want you doing anything. They want total control. Absolutely total control. And that's the obstacle. We've got solutions. We've got all the solutions. It doesn't take that long to do research, even still on the internet. We've got solutions to loads of stuff. But the problem is in me. The problem is in I Am Ann Allen, is to see how I was programmed, what my expectations are, to see that false self, that egoic self, that inauthentic self that has been encouraged to deceive, to go for profit, to get one over on, to compete, to be in a competition with. And as that goes on and on and on and on and on, we evolve. Evolve. It's love backwards, isn't it? Just like evil is life backwards. It's the word magic. We're going in the wrong direction. It's koyana skatsi. It's a way of living that demands another way of living. Now, there's a simple solution, a very simple solution that technology has. There's a guy called Professor Fallon, and there's quite an interesting twist of fate here. He worked with the American criminal justice system and all the major criminals that were coming into the prisons. He was giving them an MRI scan of their brain. And he did tens of thousands of them, literally. And on analyzing them, he found that there is an area of the brain that is extremely active in an empathic individual. And you can see the activity, it shows up in an MRI scan. But in the brain of a narcissist or a cluster B, or those that are in the spectrum, there's no activity at all. So in the same way that they've been encouraging these tests for the COVID thing, anybody that's in a situation where they have authority over someone, or they have vast amounts of wealth where they can control and influence, you know, people that maybe make certain forms of software, for example, should be tested. It's not going to take long. And if it's proved that they have no empathy, then their assets should be sequestrated and they should be put in an asylum. Because believe you me, you are already in an asylum, but you don't know it. And these guys, these cluster Bs, these that are in the spectrum, are running the asylum that you're in. If you don't believe me, I'll tell you how they work it, how they work the asylum. This is how you've been talked into the asylum. What do you call somebody from a war-torn country that wants to come to this country? An asylum seeker. Okay? What happened in 18, I think it was 48, there's a Chartist meeting in Kennington, which was when people were coming in from those enclosure acts and all the other stuff, and they were getting rid of common land. And Kennington Park used to be Kennington Common. It was common land. They had a meeting there. The Chartists had a meeting, and they wanted to get the vote because the only guys that had the vote were the aristocracy. Okay, so they wanted to get the vote, and they had this big meeting there. You can see a photograph taken from a pub called the Horns Tavern, ironically, of the gather, loads of top hats and carriages and stuff like that. And they had this march. This is before any real major form of communication, really. And that was deemed to be a major, major threat. The Queen Victoria brought in the troops, and as soon as the march was over, that was it. Kennington Common, all the commons were closed off because they didn't want people getting together. But they had to figure a way to deal with this mass of people that were waking up. So they did the usual scam. The usual scam is a word magic scam, which is based on three words: submit, application, and register. These are three words that I'm sure you are of the assumption or presumption or of the opinion that you know what these words mean. They're words that we have to do and deal with every day. Let's look at the first one. What it means, what it means to the system. Because what it means to you is irrelevant. It makes no sense. What we need to do is see and understand how the system looks at us. Because you're not going to be able to deal with that system until you do. It's no use you sitting on your high horse looking down with that reflective action of consciousness that's been programmed with this, that, and the other point of view, whatever it is, and start judging the system. The system doesn't care. What you need to do is get off that and see what the system thinks of you and how the system is created, because the system knows how the universe works. To put it in a Tolkien-esque sense, you're dealing with extremely dark, lower vibrational entities, sorcerers, if you like, that know how the universe works. And they know if they do evil, it's going to come back on them. So what they've got to do is to trick us into doing the evil for them. Then it comes back on us. And that's where the acts, the statutes, the governments, and all the other stuff comes in. So you do stuff collectively. So you all go and fight in a war because of this, that, and the other, and do the most horrendous thing to your fellow womankind. You just buy into it. You just do it. You do it all collectively. And this is how you need to see what the system is doing, how the system works. And basically, the system is basically tricking us into doing the evil for us. So there you are, the asylum seeker. Then they say to the charters, guys, okay, so you submit an application to register and we'll give you the vote. We'll give you what you want. Yippee, we've won. They obviously haven't had much relationships with someone with narcissistic personality disorder, because you'll be fed the line that you've won something, but it's going to cost you twice as much each time. Each time something will be taken away. Each time, like they take away, if I go back to the currency thing, after World War One, or during World War One, actually Germany won in 1915. They actually won, and the Kaiser was suing for peace. And it was only the, again, the Roman cult came in with its financial wing, which a lot of people like to blame, but they don't want to see it as being just the financial wing of something else. Like, I mean, as Michael Gambon said, it's layer cake, series of layers, different layers. And you have to see it in terms of consciousness, quality of consciousness. It's like you could have a car park full of cars, and there's a black one, there's a yellow one, there's all the other stuff. It doesn't matter who's in the car. What's the quality of consciousness that's operating it? That's what counts. So all the time, they're saying, oh, let's get the Ford guys against the Vauxhall guys or whatever it is like that. And they're setting them up against each other. And they're buying it because they've been born into this and they've been programmed to this, and it's what's expected. You're on this team. This is your team. This is the team you should be on. You should be against that. They're the bad guys. They're the... So you get set up for it. You get the whole thing. So anyway, 1929, they engineer the Wall Street crash because all the centralized banks were in control then. Completely. And they own everything. They owned everything then. Absolutely everything. In America, you had to hand your gold back, jewellery and all sorts of stuff. You used to have a silver dollar. Well, the Federal Reserve Act was passed through in 1913. And those of you who want to go through the history of the Titanic and the guys, the Astor family and all the other stuff, I haven't got time to go into all that nonsense and content. I'm only interested in the process as a shrink. The content you can get lost in, you can't see the wood for the tree. It's the process. It's to find the solution to the mental health disorder that we as individuals are being abused by, but we're also perpetrating it ourselves. We're also addicted to it. We became addicted to that love bombing. We became addicted. It gave us a sense of security to be part of this team. So we don't want to let that go. We've got a vested interest to believe in their fake money system. Because I've got a mortgage, I've got a house, I've got all this. So anyway, they came out with a thing in 1933 called the Uniform Commercial Code. And they started to change the money. They still hadn't owned everything, but the only thing they couldn't own was new life. Because you have to go back to the occult art of all this stuff. It goes back a long time. See, these are very dark, lower vibrational entities that are controlling things. So far, they're beginning to lose control. But so they know that the creator of all that is, was and will be, infinite love, would not have you born, would not have you manifest, if your needs would not be fulfilled from your first breath to your last, and that you would inherit dominion. You have dominion. In term, if we go back to 1303, Pope Boniface, have any of you heard of the document Unum Sanctum? Mm-hmm. How many of you? Oh, that's good. That's quite good. Unum Sanctum. That was the creation of the first so-called trust, where Pope Boniface, self-confessed Satanist. Okay, he's in the church. Remember, you've got to go back like to the Sadducees. Well, you probably know the Pharisees better, but the Sadducees, what they would do, they were the rabbis. They would, on their shop front, they'd say, you do this, you do that, you know that, that's the covenant, and that. But behind the shop front, they're doing the complete opposite. They're doing the raping of the children, the child sacrifice and all the other stuff. But on the shop front, that's what they're putting out. Just like a lot of the politicians are doing now. Just like what the cult do now. These cults are doing all of that stuff. The further you go up the different layers, eventually you'll be coming into that kind of aspect. You'll be getting that. You'll be invited into that. So, in 1933, they owned everything. And of course, we had a system of law still then, and for a little while afterwards. But the problem with law is it has to deal with things or manifestations of substance, things that have substance. Like money is weighted metal. It has substance. You can touch it, you can feel it. Okay. Well, if you look at the pound in your pocket now, it's got that familiar pound sign, but it's got one line across it. What does one line mean? Minus. That's because it's a debt-based currency. If they owned everything that's already in the world except new life, then the only thing they've got left to back that currency with is the dominion that was granted to that new life. Which is why around about that time, they kind of started coming out with this program of compulsory registration of birth. And this is why I want to get back to those three words again. Submit means you bend to another's will. Application, and the one I like is in the early Black's Law dictionaries, is it's presumed you are a beggar and you know what you're giving up in order to get what you're begging for. Registration means you're giving away whatever it is you are registering to whoever you're registering it with. Okay, so you submit an application to register. You get a vote. Okay? You get a vote in an asylum. Okay, so who do you get to vote for? A member of parliament? Parley to talk lies? where do you make your vote? Where do you register your vote? What's it called?
A ward.
A ward. A ward is a room in an asylum. What do the members of parliament have when they have meetings? They don't have meetings. What are they called?
Surgeries.
Okay, and if you keep, what's the definition of someone who keeps on doing the same thing over and over again and expects a different outcome?
Insanity.
I rest my case. You're all in an asylum. You're all complicit in that. You all signed up for it. You all went along with it. You all shoulder the responsibility for it. So when those guys you voted for, and if you maybe don't look at them as being like Liz Truss anymore, you look at them as being like Nurse Ratched in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you get a better idea of what's really going on. This is what we're living under. We're living under in a system of abuse. It's complete abuse. But we've got so used to it. We've got so used to being abused. This is what happens. I used to work, I'd work in rehabs. There'd be women that would come in, they'd be bad. And they'd go back and get battered again. And I could, what? And it was like, well, I know that he loves me because he beats me up. I know that he cares. It's a perverse kind of logic, isn't it? I know that the country must love me. I know the country cares about me because they look after me, don't they? The council look after me. They give me a council tax. It's tax rebate this. You get something this. You get something like that. Not really. What's really happening is this cluster B pathology, this Wetiko, is basically saying to you, look, I'm here and I'm doing this for your own good because I really care about you. I really care about you. And I need to give you this enema because this enema is going to make you feel good. It's going to be good for you. And you're all taking the enema. But most of you in this room have realized that while you're taking that enema, the so-called doc that's giving it to you has got both his hands on your shoulders. So what's going up your ass? Exactly, that's what's happening. You're being completely Donald Ducked by the system. It's an abusive system. There's no way you can get out of it, really, unless you make that connection and you see what it is and how it is and why it is. Because if you're dealing with any parasitic infestation, if you want to get rid of it, you've got to stop feeding it. You've got to stop feeding it. And what's happening? We're feeding it all the time. We're feeding it all the time. And they've got scams where they're poisoning us. They love it. The food they give us, the stuff they're spraying, and you know this stuff. Most of you guys here got to know all that stuff. They're poisoning us all the time. And we need to wake up as individuals. And then once we're awake as individuals, we will be able to connect. There is something countering this. There is something countering this in the cosmos that vibrates on a much higher vibration. It's a loving, healing, transforming light that you can't really see, that loves you more than you could possibly imagine. But you can't really get your head around that because you've been born into a system of abuse. And you've got used to abusing as well. To being the abuser and being abused. So it's very difficult to kind of raise your vibration high enough to be able to begin to perceive this and what's possible. How to get out of this relationship. Well, the first thing is if you're in a narcissistic relationship, is to get out of the relationship. To block all the calls, block all the phones. Well, that's quite difficult to do in this situation. Somebody said to me just before I got up and talked, how can I get out of the system? How can I get out of it? And it's like, I said to them, well, you need to know how the system thinks of you, how the system's blocked you, how the system has created an asylum in your mind, how it's got you to lock the doors in your own mind so you can't escape. So you don't want to escape. You might want to go just so far, but you won't want to go all the way. You won't want to take it that far. It takes courage. That takes courage. And if the one thing this, those in the spectrum, the cluster B spectrum, do not have is courage. They don't have courage. They can't create anything. Because in order to create something, you have to have passion. And in order to have passion, you have to have empathy. It all kind of ties in. So what they do is they make a very crude copy of what they know to be in terms of a natural world. What there is, once we can diminish our inauthentic self enough and open our hearts enough, we can begin to connect with a divine, infinite database. That database is where people who are termed as being genius, they can access that database. And the way to access that database is to have a loving, passionate disposition. And if you have that loving, passionate disposition, then you can activate that database. That's where all the solutions are. That's where the solutions are for your own individual growth, but also for all of us to grow, to make this connection, to put some time and effort into doing that. Sure, I can come out with the proof about the legal system, the formal challenges to law, which isn't law, it's legal, and the Bar Association. I can go back to King John signing Magna Carta and the so-called, you know, common law stuff, and it's all a charade. Most of the guys that signed it, John Harris and I went through it ages ago, are all members of the Roman cult at that time, the church, the clergy. And it was annulled by the Pope. And in order to stop any more wayward kings or monarchs in this country going wayward, they made the crown into the four inns of the Temple Bar. That's who the crown is the Bar Association. The Bar Association have the monopoly on the law. And they have these 12 presumptions. And if you've got your black magic phones, I would take some photographs of these 12 presumptions and read through it. And then you'll just see how deceptive, how devious these guys actually are in being able to manipulate you. And that they've got you locked down in this asylum that you voluntarily walked into and signed up to. You consented to it. And once they've got your consent, they're now, just like the narcissist, they're going to feed on your soul. They just really want to eat your soul. That's what they're after. Because there's nothing new in what I'm saying here. You should already know this stuff. You probably knew this stuff before you incarnated into this time, this place, and this space. There's a war going between good and evil. And the prize in that war is souls. That's what's going on. So I can talk about law. I can talk about you getting out of this and your utility bills and all the other stuff and all the deceptions that go on with all that. And yeah, maybe on a practical day-to-day form of living, that's going to help. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But this is what I'm talking about, is the elephant in the room that really needs to be addressing. And time's running out. We've really got to look at this. So I would really, literally, humbly beseech you guys to check out Narcissistic Personality Disorder so you can give personality to what is abusing you. And when you see that, and you see the hows and the whys, why that happens, that it's based on trauma, that it's a hereditary thing, that we've got to nip it in the bud. And we can't really do it individually. We can maybe get out individually. I can live off grid. I'm quite happy doing the stuff I do. I don't have to come out and speak about this stuff. But I do, because I've got empathy. Because I'm heart-centered, and I know that womb mankind needs to become more heart-centered. because what we have is a pandemic of narcissistic personality disorder. People are becoming more narcissistic. They're going in the wrong direction. That's koyana skatsi, a way of living that demands another way of living. We're dealing with watiko. It's time for the, as the Native Americans would say, our little white younger brother to grow up. To not be an adult, to not allow themselves to be adulterated anymore. To be the highest jurisdiction that there is woman, man, under God. If there's a title, it's inferior. A woman is higher than the queen. A man is higher than the king. That is your right. That is your dominion that was given to you. The only thing that's getting in the way of that is this narcissistic personality disorder and this cluster B spectrum of pathology or personality that we're having to deal with, that has created the corporation, that has created these religions, that has created these governments, that has created these councils, that has created these banks, this economic system. I'll leave it there. Thank you.